Okay, so it's recording. So we're going to go back to week 11 and finish up the parts on type. And this is, you guys are going to be so glad you're here today because this is going to really help you with those InDesign files. So in week 11, let's go ahead to learning. And we're going to go to what is typography. And I think we left off with, you guys got to do the kerning game too, didn't you? Because the other class, I did it with them today because I forgot to do it with them. And I think we left off, we covered quotes, right? Did I show you how to do quotes and how to hand do them? Did we do this page? All right, what I did in announcements is I also put in, I wrote out how you do the keyboard commands and I put them in announcements for you. So we're going to start here with figures and fractions and small caps. So this will be much more fun and you'll learn so much more if we all open up an InDesign file and play along, okay? So go ahead and I'll give everybody a minute to open up a file. I don't care what it looks like. You can make it whatever you want. You know, I'm in habit turning it to inches and taking off facing pages. Just something to play in. Don't use your file we created last class because that's actually for your white paper. Just make a new file that you can play in. And let me get my windows. Okay. So some of the things I'm going to teach you today are real nerdy, but they're what makes you look like a pro. If you want your work to look real professional and really grab attention, you know, people might not know what you're doing, but in reality, it's there. It's almost like transparent when you do really good typography. And some of the little nerdy parts are like about using ligatures. And then I want to talk to you today about figures, fractions, and small caps. So figures are the numbers. So what I want everybody to do in their little InDesign file is go ahead, take your type tool. And let me make my window bigger. Oh, my poor computer. The minute I tell it to start recording and I've got a big laptop, this is the university's laptop. The motor's already running hard and the fan is running. Take your type tool and drag across like that. And then just type out all the numbers like that. And I'm going to make mine really big so you guys can see them. So I'm going to go Command T to bring up the character window. It'll only bring up this window, not this one. It'll bring up this window right here. I had them linked together. And I'm going to make my numbers really big so you guys can see them. Now, this is what we call lining figures. I don't care if you remember the term, but well, who knows what'll be on Design Jeopardy. Well, let's put it this way. You don't have to worry, study for a test, okay? It's not like, oh my God, I better write line figures down because it'll be on the test. Just think of them as the numbers that all sit on the baseline. So Baskerville is a font that I know always has line, it has figures that sit on the matter of fact, that's Baskerville right there. I just did it again. Now let's go ahead and type another group of numbers. And I want to show you what we call old style figures. And that's where the numbers, some of them sit on the baseline and some of them drop below. So highlight those numbers you made and then come on over to your type, click on the fonts and scroll down until you find, I was using Bodoni in the last class, till you find a font that has those old style figures. And if you notice, when I highlight those numbers, it tells me what the font is. And this is Bodoni 72 small caps. And we're going to talk about Bodoni 72 small caps again in a minute. But different fonts have different styles of numbers. So depending on the message and what you're trying to say, you're going to pick fonts with those characters. Notice Bodoni has these very ornate serifs that are almost rounded. Baskerville are much more subdued. Baskerville is a great body copy. Bodoni, not so much, but it makes great headlines and subheads. It's used a lot in fashion magazines. I think it's a little too characterful. And if we type some letters, it can have very fine serifs. This version of 72 really doesn't, but the original Bodoni does. So, you know, you want to pick fonts that speak what you are trying to say. And so the numbers might be a big part of that. Now, go ahead and take your bounding box for your type and make it the whole grid, because we're going to play in here some more. Okay. Now we're going to talk about fractions. Well, actually, you know what? Let's talk about small caps first. So small caps can be very cool and they go very well with old style figures. Sometimes they're under a family called old style figures. So if I hold my shift key in this Baskerville and do an A and then B, C, D, E, notice they're all caps. I'm not holding the shift key for all of it. I only held the shift key for the first letter. And what it's doing there is the font is designed to be nothing but caps. And you have to be careful because when you're choosing fonts, if you're going to use a font that's nothing but caps, that'll work great for like headlines and subheads, but you sure don't want to be doing body copy in all caps. So make sure, and Bodoni does. Bodoni has other versions of its family where it's not all caps. This is like an extra version. So I could safely use Bodoni for my white paper if I wanted to. And maybe for the headlines and stuff, and maybe pick something for the body copy, but I do have upper and lowercase in it too. Now, what you don't want to do, and I'm going to do a capital A, B, C, D, E, S, and I'm going to change the font to a font that isn't all caps. Okay, so I made those all caps. If I were to throw a lowercase, see? What you don't want to do, what people do sometimes, and it's so, so wrong. Look at the Bodoni. See how the weights of all the strokes look equal? They blend in very well together. Watch what happens if I take this A and I make it bigger. See how the stroke weight gets much thicker? I can tell it's not a small cap font. Matter of fact, it looks like, frankly, shit. It just looks like shit. And we don't want that. That's a pure sign of an amateur, okay? You want to use a font that actually has small caps. Okay, guys? Victoria, you're speaking for everybody. What a responsibility, huh, Victoria? All right, so that's small caps. Just remember, always use a font that is designed to be small caps. Now, fractions. We have a little competition with fractions too. So fractions are never done by true topographers. Let me come down here. Are never done by doing a one, a slash, and a two. Only amateurs do that. We never do that if we're really true topographers. What we do is we go up and we get type glyphs. So everybody go up and get glyphs. Glyphs are such fun. And the students in the other class showed me how to do this. I usually scroll through looking for the fractions. If it's a well-designed type, the type designer has designed fraction characters where they come together. And the students in the other class said, hey, Ingersoll, just type in fraction. Look at that. I typed in for FR and all the fractions for that font came up. So now all I have to do is double click. And that's the proper character for a fraction. And this is very unusual for a font to have this many. Usually you only get three. You get a quarter, a half, and three quarters. But depending on your font, so go ahead and have some fun with that. Go ahead and pick some different fonts. Let me move this up so you guys can see it. And see what their fractions are. Mike, look, isn't this cool? It is so great. See, there is the one where I did it wrong, and there's the fraction behind it. Web dings. We're going to get to play with those later in the class. So cool. I can remember the days when we didn't have this stuff. I get so excited. Apparently, Gil Sans Nova does not have a fraction, nor should it, because it's got a very crazy looking, it's a header font. Okay, everybody have fun with fractions? So you don't want to do this. You want to go find a character and do this. Now, if you're doing something and you're going to have a lot of fractions and your font doesn't have the fractions, then you change your font and find a font that has the characters you need. I don't anticipate you guys are going to run into too much trouble with your white papers, but I'm teaching you this stuff, okay? All right, so good. So far, so good. Victoria, were you able to get some fractions? Cool. Okay, so we already talked about glyphs. We're going to skip here. Matter of fact, we're going to skip a bunch of slides. I narrowed this down to the stuff we really need. We've already talked about swashes. Remember we looked at, was it in this class that you guys came up with Book Mania? Was it somebody in this class? I'm pretty sure it was. That's a cool font. And it had all the swashes and things that are these cool character, these cool things that come down. And I said, you got to be really careful how you use them. You can overuse them. Sorry, my throat is shot. I've been a lot of teaching. So anyhow, I love to show you guys dingbats. And I want to show you how to make type treatments or how to make different kind of cool things by using some different things like this with type. So I'm going to go ahead and get rid of all this. You do the same thing. Do a Command A and delete. And then I want you to go type in a W and go down to web dings. So you see this very first one. What they do is you got web dings, you got wing dings. They give you all kinds of characters like circles and triangles. So you don't have to recreate them. But let's go to web dings and then bring down glyphs. Oop, I already had glyphs open. And you're going to be able to see all the cool characters. Oh, if I only can get these windows. I am not going to miss Zoom. You got all these cool characters. And you could pick a cool character. Like the last class, I picked the bike. I think this time I'm going to go for the, maybe for the movie thing. So, oops. All right. My fault. I went back one. I grabbed the wrong window. Sorry. Now, all you have to do is double click. See how I put it in my recently used? Then go in here, make a type box. Oh, it's in preview. That's why. Make a type box, but I'm not going to make the full width. Then I take my type tool and I'm going to make a smaller box. And then I'm going to come down and I'm going to double click that wingding. And then I'm going to highlight it and I'm going to make it like really big so you guys can see it. I can even type in bigger sizes. Like if I wanted to be 200, I could type in 200 and it disappeared because the box isn't quite big enough for it. So I'm going to go ahead and make my box bigger, but I'm going to make it as small as I can without losing it. Oop, a little too big. There it is. Now you notice I can move it around. So I got this nice little vector graphic of this like movie thing. So let's think about your white papers. When I talk about type treatments and some of the samples that are in that Adobe paper, remember to use that as a guide. So I want this image and I'm going to come over and get the type tool and I'm going to make another little box and I'm going to put in 67%. And I'm going to choose a font. And I think I'd like a nice serif font. I'm going to go with Calibri for this. And I'm going to make it really big. I'm going to think about what size I want to make it. So I'm making a little tight treatment because I'm going to talk about 65%, you know, like we saw in the Adobe stuff. And you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to make the 67 bigger than the percent because I want their eyes to be drawn in. And this is part of hierarchy that we're going to talk about later in class. I want their eyes to be drawn in by the webbing, by this little, whatever they call these things. But the number is what's super important. It's an important figure that I want my audience to really think about. So I'm going to make it maybe 150%. I'm just taking guesses right now. And it disappeared because I made it bigger. And I'm going to take and think about where I might like to set it. This is all visual. I'm just thinking about this. And then I'm going to take my type tool again, and I'm going to go back to Calibri, but I'm going to make it smaller size, maybe about, 18 maybe. And I'm going to say 67 of all movie goers pay for their tickets. I don't even think I need a period. I also got an extra space here. And then I'm going to place that type. I'm going to think about maybe lining it up. I'm going to do this visually. Maybe I'll line the bottom of the numbers up with a little thing. Maybe I'll line the text up with the edge of the 7. I don't know. I'm going to play around with it till I get a visual that I think looks nice. And voila, I just made a type treatment with one of the facts from my research, from my content practice that I can use in my white paper. What do you think, Victoria? I can do things like change color. Maybe I want 67 to stand out a little more. So I can come in here and maybe I can make it a color and look at the difference, right? Maybe I want all moviegoers to pay for their tickets to maybe sit back a little more. So I can double click this and maybe go in and, maybe make it a gray. Unfortunately, I don't know how to get gray here. I have a tendency to do this, pipe in a hexadecimal code. See how I can get a gray? Too dark. That's just right. And that kind of sets that part back a little. And I'm going to show you guys another little trick. So when I want to look at this type treatment to see if it looks good, and you know what? I don't really like it because I don't like the percent sticking out so much. I don't know. I could play around with it. If you go over here to your toolbar and look down here at the bottom, you're going to see right now there's a black box around this part. That's the working mode. If I go over to the next box, it'll say preview. And what it'll do is it'll take all the guidelines away so I can see it. And then if I don't think it looks really good, if I want to change it, like I think I want to do this, I can go ahead and play around with it until I'm using my keyboard arrows right now to line this up. Until I get it looking exactly like I want it, like I overlapped it a little bit to connect the two of them together. I could also go in and kern. Remember we learned about kerning? If I want to bring some of these characters a little closer together. So there's all kinds of cool things you can do. Now I have an illustration and all I used was type. Isn't that gorgeous? So you guys, I'd love to see these in your white paper, even if you do one, because they'll give you practice with understanding. Sometimes doing this, especially with an important figure like this, like, and you would put it on the page near the copy maybe you're talking about, where the copy is talking about this. And this would be like pulling a quote or something like that and saying, hey, stop for a second. Look at this fact, 67%. actually pay for their tickets. I think the bad news is that there's what, 33% who aren't? But anyhow, that's how you want to bring attention through this visual to that with using your facts and figures. Now you understand why you did that second page, right? I mean, that third page of your copy. So you have stuff like this. All right. Any questions on this stuff so far? No? Pretty cool? Okay. Letting. I already talked about letting, but I want to show a little bit more. So I'm going to go put it back in working mode. I'm going to come over and get my type tool. You guys do this too. Make a box and then just type letting. Hit return, letting. Hit return, letting. And go ahead and make it bigger. I'm going to make mine real big so you guys can see it. And if I highlight all three and go over here, the rule of thumb is usually to add a point of letting. So if I went with that, this would be 73. But it works differently for different fonts. Like, that's not bad. If we were doing body copy and it was only 12 or 14 point, the rule of thumb is 1 point of letting. So start with 1 point of letting. And then if you think it's too tight, and let me show you what letting looks like when it's too tight. Actually, I've got a visual right here. This is what I mean by too tight of letting. There's not enough space to make it easy to read and come back and catch the next line. This is pretty good. This might be a little too much letting, especially for body copy. Because when we come to the end and come back, it can make it very difficult to figure out where that next line is, which you should be doing. So always kind of play with the letting. Think about the visual, I think this reads a little better with a little more letting, okay? So that's what we mean by letting. And you want to think about that when you're doing your headers, your subheads, if there's more than one line, and your body copy. Oh, I lost. Where is? There we are. Okay. Important stuff, letting. That's a good term to know. All right. This class is always so lucky. I get you through so much faster. But before, did I forget anything? I hope not. Okay. Alignment and rag. You also want to slide ahead. Look at this page. It's gorgeous, isn't it? Beautifully laid out. You guys do pages like this in your white paper, you're going to get an A. I'd love to see everybody get an A in this class. I had classes come close to almost everybody in class getting an A on their building. I've never had anybody come close enough getting an A on their white paper, though. The thing you have to think about, and there were some really good questions in the other class. They asked questions like about hyphens and things like that. I'm going to try to remember to tell you guys the same thing from their questions. But type is powerful. You want to read this because it's got beautiful white space. It has hierarchy. It's laid out on a grid. It makes it easy to read. That's what we're trying to do for our readers and our white papers or anything we do. Okay. So in this page, what I did is I made alignment in rags biggest and I made them red. So that's the first level of the hierarchy. Your eyes go beelining for that. And I needed the word and, but I didn't really want the word and to be as big and as powerful. I kind of wanted you to sort of skip it and just see alignment rags. So what I did is I made it smaller and made it black. So you kind of skip over it, but yet you still see it. Then here is a subhead. Look at the difference in the size. Look at the spacing. Look at the letting that keeps the lines together so you know you're supposed to read those two together, okay? Then look at the layers that are built in here. The next thing is these different columns. So this is a four column layout, and it's showing you over here, flush left, justified, flushed right, and centered. We, of course, we remember from the last class that the easiest thing to read and body copy is flush left and then justified. We don't want to set body copy in these two. They're fine for a little sidebar or a few paragraphs or something you want to stand out from the body copy, but we don't want to set all the body copy in these. The next thing I have in here is this blue layer. And the blue layer is showing what these are. So here is a headline. And if we're going in print, headlines are 14 point and above. Now, if we're working on digital, and when I, this is one of the pages in the book that I have to edit. This is one of the things I haven't been, that needs work yet. I would say digital here instead of web, because when we work with screens, we want type to be bigger because it's harder to read. So if we're doing body copy in digital, we want to be 14 point and we want to be at least 14 point, maybe even a little bigger. If we're doing body copy in print, we have more control and it would be between 10 and 12 point. You start getting bigger than that, you're designing children's books or books for old people like me who can't see. Sometimes depending on the font, like Helvetica has such that big X height that we talked about earlier, we could even go down to 9. Rarely do we go anything smaller than that because then we're getting the type too small to really read. But you know, when we're working with screens, I have the ability to do this. The problem is I blow it up more and more because these are JPEGs, they get pixelated. Unlike our textbook, where if we go in to our textbook and I blow up the textbook, see how the quality stays there? That's because they're a scalable vector graphic. So they're, this was made in Illustrator and then exported to a scalable vector graphic. They hold their quality. But if we're dealing with a web page, we're using a JPEG. Now, if it was HTML content or something like that, it would blow up and we don't have to worry about it so much. Credits are usually 6 to 8 point in print. And we often sometimes will switch the font just on credits to something like, and credits would be like a photo, giving credit who shot the photo, things like that. We would also switch maybe to an easier reading font like Helvetica or Futura or something like that, because we could make it 6 point or really small, because usually you don't want credits in your face. You have to give credit. Those photographers really, I don't blame them. They want credit for their work, but you don't want like this big, huge signature, or big, huge copy detracting from the main message of what you're trying to do. So notice red, black, blue. See how the hierarchy is broken up in this to help you read it through layers? That's, if you guys can learn to do this and learn to design on a grid, oh my gosh, I wish I could bring you potato chips or more. Okay? Now, burn this page in your head. Take a good look at it. See how this page looks very much the same? That's what you want with your white paper. You want consistency. Doesn't have to be perfectly the same. This is pretty much the same, but you want all your headers to look like a header. You don't want to switch them all up. You want your subheads to look like a subhead. You want your body copy to look like body copy. You want, I'm going to call this like a little sidebar or pull quote. You want those to look the same. You don't want to get your reader all confused, okay? As you get more and more practice at this stuff, you can push those rules. But for this class and the time we have left, I want you to learn how to do it the right way, basic way, okay? This page, I left in the InDesign. Don't worry about these little breakups. That has more to do with the way the web page is loading. But look at these lines going around. Is that's how I set up the grid in InDesign. That's where I set the margins and got the grid. Then I told it to be 4 columns. Notice the copy is fitting in them columns and it's lining up on these guides with only the very last column having less text. So you want things to line up like this and be consistent. Okay, this is what we mean by copy fitting. this page is talking about measuring grid. I just talked to you about the grid. That's the grid. Grids organize and reduce complexity. You want beautiful white space. You want the page organized so that your viewer can walk through it according to the hierarchy you set up. The other thing you want to think about is measure or line length, and that is the distance of this column. If it's too long, people have a hard time coming back and picking up the next line. If it's too short, it gets very choppy to read and it's annoying as hell. Okay, we don't want only three words or four words on a line. We want enough words so we can smoothly read the copy. Okay. So that's what I mean by line length and measure. Line lengths are measured, same term. And grid is that structure you build. And remember, we went over building a grid with the mock-up, okay? So make sure you guys, if guys want the help, hey, listen, you just make my life easier if you don't turn it in, but it's going to make it harder for you to get a good grade. Well, shit on the grade. Let's just talk about learning. So you learn this so you can do this for, think about all the stuff you can build once you've done this, right? With your illustrator skills and your PageMaker skills, oh my God, you could create your own books. I actually had a student, I had an older woman one time take the class just because she wanted to learn how to make her own books. And she got all the skills in here to do it. That said, make sure you set up that grid and you use it. Remember consistency, okay? Remember to turn in those mock-ups on Friday. Do your lecture question because it's on hierarchy and it's important. Otherwise, I would have took it out. I'm not going to do anything the last couple weeks of the semester that isn't important and is going to make your life more miserable. I've been a student. I know where your guys' heads are right now. You're going crazy, right? You're the only one who can speak for these guys, Victoria, right? So I'm trying to do everything I can so you know what you're doing. So some of you, I don't know if I got anybody in this class, but some of you have already signed up for my 383 class in the fall. You're going to bring everything you learned in here into that class. And you're going to go into some of your other classes and you're going to need this stuff. So I want to make sure you leave the class with what you need, but without driving you nuts the last few weeks. So turn that file, turn that mock-up in, turn in that lecture question. And if you have your page laid out, the file we started the other day, and you want to turn that in that same spot, I will look at it for you. I've got my weekend all blocked out to do two things, grading, looking at your 241 stuff, and riding my bike. And my bike is going to get the low end, unfortunately, but I have to keep training or I won't be ready. Okay. Widows and orphans. Now, Victoria, I had two students almost crying. They were laughing so hard. They're going, what the heck is Ingersoll talking about with widows and orphans? But there's a reason. I used a type treatment for this header. Looks pretty cool, doesn't it? Let me show you how to do this. Matter of fact, you guys play along. Let's go get our InDesign file. I'm going to get rid of all my stuff. Now, when you're deleting stuff on InDesign, make sure you delete the type boxes. Sometimes you'll hit delete and it won't delete the boxes and then it'll cause you trouble. So drag across it, make sure you delete the boxes. Now I'm going to bring this down here like this. Blow this up. So I can show you how I made this. You ready? Ready for fun with widows and orphans? And I'll tell you after we're done building this what widows and orphans means. Take your type tool. Click and drag all the way across. Give yourself enough of a box so we can fit that whole thing in. I'm going to get rid of my guides. Then take your type tool, click in there, and with your cap locks on, type out widows, put in a couple spaces, and then type orphans. Once you've done that, go find a font that you would like to use. I use Gill Sans for this, but I don't know if I got Gill Sans. Yes, I do. I'm going to use Gill Sans Light. I'm going brave. All right, I'm going to see how it looks. I use Gil Sans, I think, demo here. Now I'm going to make it pretty big so you guys can see it, but I'm not going to fill the entire width because I need to put that ampersand in. The other thing I want to do is, remember we learned about kerning and letter spacing? Being all caps, it's going to be hard to read unless we add some letter spacing. And what's kind of cool, I was working with some students in an upper level class yesterday, my 361 students, and we were doing critiques on the work they're doing, and letter spacing and kerning came up. Students were doing a crit and said, that needs letter spacing, that needs kerning, and they made it happen. So how we do letter spacing is we come over here, and letter spacing is this one right here, this V and A in the solid box. The rule of thumb is to start with 100 and then visually work from there. So the other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to highlight it and I'm going to center it. And remember, your alignments are under type. Am I going too fast, Victoria? Type, paragraph. And this is where all your alignments are. And I'm going to hit the center. So now I've got that beautifully centered. I think it needs some kerning. I think it needs a little kerning between the D and the O. So remember, we put our cursor there. Make sure your cap locks is off. We hold our option key and we use our keyboard arrows to draw it in or to make it bigger. And once I think I've got it kerned pretty good, what do you guys think? Looking pretty good? Once I think I have it kerned pretty good, gonna wait a minute. I see Victoria over there heartily kerning. You ready, sweetie? I'm gonna put my cursor in here. This is where the ampersand is gonna go. And I'm gonna drag it across because I wanna put it in that spot. And then I happen to adore, it's not the same. The ampersand I'm using up there, I think, is Centaur. But one of my other favorite ampersands, because ampersands can look very, very different according to the character. And if I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to use my shift key and my 7 number, I'm going to put in an ampersand. Then I'm going to highlight it. And I'm going to go over to fonts. And I can scroll down through. Oh my God, WebDings, it's a little metal. And I can look at the different ampersands for different fonts. But I know which one I want. I want Baskerville Italic. So I'm going to go down and grab Baskerville. And then I'm going to change the family to Italic. And oh my God, is that not beautiful? Now, it still looks too monotone, doesn't it? It kind of like reads across. So I'm going to highlight the ampersand and I'm going to make it bigger. I'm going to use it like a pause between widows and orphans. It's like widows, little rest, orphans. Okay. My eye might come into the ampersand, but then I immediately go to widows and then I come over to orphans. So now I'm going to go ahead and make it bigger and I'm going to play around. And if this happens, that means it's getting too big for that line length. So I'm just going to go back. I could either make the ampersand smaller, which I don't think I want to. I'm going to go ahead and make the widows. I think I'm going to make it 46. I'm going to make orphans 46. Make it a little smaller because I don't want it cramming the edges. I want a little breather room. Okay, we good? You got yourself a widow, an ampersand, and an orphan there, Victoria? All right, now I'm going to highlight the ampersand. And I'm going to come down here. Remember I said there was only one block down here was worth any use, that these other three you should never touch. And this will either kick it up off the baseline or down below. I'm going to click until it goes down below a little. And when I think I got it where I want it, I'm going to go ahead and deselect and look at it. And I still think widows is too big. A lot of this is judgment call. I'm going to make it 43. Try this one again. Now it's looking pretty good, isn't it? And if I need to, I can kern in here, give it more room if I want. or whatever I think. So, do you have a beautiful widows and orphan? Is that not cool? What a way to add a voice and hierarchy to pages, right? Beautiful. Okay. Now, widows and orphans are down here. We don't care about orphans. We don't care about orphans. Orphans are a term for when you have like a line with like one word on it. I get you an upper level. For some of you who are going to take me in upper level classes, all of you are not. I teach you how to use those the right way. Like when you really want to look like a pro, there are things we do with orphans to not let them happen. In this class, we got enough to worry about. But I do care in this class about widows. And this is a widow. A widow is when you have one line that bumps up onto that flow of copy. What you need to do is give a widow company. So you either get the editor and ask them to think about rewriting a sentence or adding some words so that maybe we can kick a line up there, okay? To give that widow some company. Or copy fitting is a very complex thing. I don't want to drive you guys nuts with it right here. The best way to do it would be, can we rewrite any of those sentences to kick another line up there so it looks more like this or at least has two lines? Okay. So in your white papers, I don't want to see any widows. If you have orphans, okay. I might even send you when I get feedback saying, do a hard return and bring down some company for this widow or this orphan, or have somebody write another couple. You could just add a word in there and it give that orphan some company. But this part I care about, not having any widows. Now, I tried to do a demonstration in the other class and I kind of flubbed it. But let's see if I can do a demonstration here, because one of the students asked, how do we get rid of those widows? So I'm going to go up. I'm going to try. Cross your fingers for me. I'm going to put in, because I don't have any copy ready is the problem. I'm going to make, see if I got any copy. I don't have any copy. I think I put, let me see if I put that stuff in the trash we used last time. Hang on. Oh, what did we call that file? I don't think it's in here. Nope. Let me see if I put it here. That's not going to be a big enough document. All right. I don't have any copy ready. I wasn't expect. So I'm going to come over here. I'm just going to make some silly copy so I can show you guys how to do this. All right, so here is my copy and I'm going to flow it up. Okay, and let me make a widow. There we go. Well, that's not really a widow. It's really hard to like make a widow from scratch. Just doesn't happen that easily. All right, there we go. I got a widow now. So you'll notice that if I pull this down, see how the widow is down there? And this is what causes the widow, because I need to line that type up like that. So the easiest way to get rid of that widow is to go to the editor. Sometimes we as the designers used to rewrite some sentences if it wasn't anything major. You don't want to change the tone or what the author's trying to say, but sometimes you can just change a few words and you can add, now I kind of screwed up. You can add a few words to bring up a line so that that widow has some company. Okay. And since you guys are the authors of these papers, you are also the editors. You can definitely go in and do that kind of editing. The other ways we get widows, too complex, not going down there, not in this class. If you guys take the advanced level class, I'll go over stuff like that there. Okay? Widows and orphans. So far, so good. We doing good, everybody? No questions from the rest of the crew? You guys aren't back there sleeping on me, are you? So, you know, my FYS class is studying design thinking, and one of the problems they came up with, it was their choice. Matter of fact, we've lost most of the class. Hang on a second. We only got 7 people today. What a sad thing. I don't know where everybody is, but if they don't have a good excuse, I'm not going through this stuff again. All right. That said, if they got a good excuse, though, I will help them all I can. But they are studying this thing about virtual learning, trying to solve the problem of virtual learning. You know what they discovered? Because they've been doing research. They discovered that they've watched their roommates, because, you know, most of them are freshmen, so they're on campus in the dorms. They said their roommates will turn on their computer and go to their virtual class and immediately go somewhere else and sleep. They aren't even in class. Oh, it's got to be a 50-50 proposition. It's never just all student or all professor. It's got to be, we got to work together. Okay, guys. But not to you guys. You guys are here and nobody's sleeping, right, Hannah? You're not back there sleeping on me, are you?
Nope.
Yeah, I know you wouldn't be, sweetie. Otherwise, I wouldn't call on you. All right. Now, we are going to get done early. I don't understand how this happens with this class. I've covered the same stuff. Now, I will admit the other class asked more questions. I need to get you guys to ask more questions because that's probably why they take longer. What do you think of this page? Is it not beautiful? It's all type, except for this little printer's ornament. This little printer's ornament down here. So red hierarchy, consistent with the rest of these pages, right? Different font though, a little different. It's not from the same, it wouldn't be from the same book. Subhead, giving credit to the font, smaller, little credit here because I pulled this copy. This is a credit to where this copy came from. This kind of type treatment, you guys aren't going to do in this class. I just want to show it to you because it's so beautiful. This is very, very hard to do correctly. You have tools actually in Illustrator that allow you to do it, but most people use the tool, but they don't do it correctly and it's hard to read. It's really hard to do. Another little header, subhead, drop the numbers down a little bit. Bembo, look at the period of time this guy existed. He designed this font. This font is named after him. He designed the original, it wasn't called Bembo, I don't think then, but notice how the numbers got dropped down a little smaller than the name. So we're using different sizes and color. This is in gray. This is in gray, so it subdues a little bit. That's what we mean by hierarchy. How are we designing this so we walk our reader through the information in the way we want them to absorb it? What's most important? What do they need to? We live by, in the Western world, we follow the Gutenberg principle. We start up here and go this way. This page is beautifully designed to do that. If I would have lined this up over here, it would have read much differently than moving it over here so it goes like this, because I wanted this shape to stand out as beautiful. If I would have lined it up over here, it would have got lost in the alignment, in flushing it left. So what you guys need to do is think about what I talked about. Go back and look at these things I provide for you in our quote unquote textbook, which includes the page I showed you in this webpage here. Look for ideas, try them. See, you know, think about, take those risks and learn from it. I promise you, I will never punish you for taking risk and trying. Look at the beautiful leading. See how easy it is to read from line. And this is a little more difficult. They have to come back and grab lines like this. All right. Any questions so far? You're going to get out early today. You are the luckiest group. I'll tell you what, one of the 241 sections is almost full already, and they're all signing up for the morning. I'm surprised it isn't out there. Don't take the morning section. Take the second one. Of course, if you guys ask questions like that other group, we would be in here longer too. I still got a bunch more stuff to show you, so hang in there. Plus, they also did the kerning game today because they didn't get to do it last time. The only thing, we're going to skip all those pages and we're going to skip everything on this page. The only thing I want to show you is this infographics, because I want to show you how they use type treatments in here. For instance, look at this over here, people. That's nothing but text, just using bigger letters and smaller. Look at using little images like the wingdings or whatever, right? And then running copy underneath. Those are type treatments that you could use in your white paper. Aren't they gorgeous? Isn't it nice to look at this infographic and these visuals with this data rather than just reading a bunch of prose? This is important stuff. We need to do it. Look at these gorgeous type treatments with using color, like I showed you. You could highlight the wingding and change the color. You could make your own little image in Illustrator and put it in with this, right? Look at this gorgeous infographic with the flat images. You already know how to make this in Illustrator. Remember early on in the course, I'm going to kind of skip our break because I think you're going to get out. Would you guys like to get out early if we cover everything? Would you like to skip break and get out early? All right, Victoria speaking for the rest of you. Anybody else want to speak up on that? I'll put chat up so you don't even have to talk to me. You could chat. Do you guys want to skip break? Yeah, fine with me. Okay, thanks, Grace. Yeah, of course. Yeah, me too. I'm going to go take a little, I'm going to go eat my lunch on the porch. All right, here, because I still have another class to teach today. This is what we call flat graphics. You can build this. You already have the skill. When I looked at some of those buildings, I'm going, yep, no problem. These guys could go off and do this on their own. You just make the shape, fill it with color, layer the shapes over top of each other, and you have these flat graphics. Remember back when we did lecture question one and I asked you guys to give me a piece of design you really liked? A lot of you gave me flat graphics. It's very popular. I'm going to show you a couple more down here. More type treatments. There's one I want to get. Look at more type treatments, some little graphs that they made. Look at this. This looks like a white paper, doesn't it? Let me see if I can get this to be a little smaller. Oh, clicked on it. Oh, my trackpad has had a little too much use and it doesn't work very well. I've just put in a request for a mouse, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry, sometimes I can't make it do what it should be doing. Now, do I expect you to draw all this for your white paper? Absolutely not. Not in the time we have left and all the other work you got to do for all your other classes. But you could do one little thing. But notice how they're talking about cosmetics here. And they got this beautiful images that all look alike with type treatments. You can go to this page for ideas. Now, what about, I wish I could make this smaller. What about this poster? If I assigned you right now and said, okay, you guys, I want you to open Illustrator. I want you to make this for me. Do you think you could do it? Thank you, Victoria, because yes, you can. You'd make one ear of corn, copy paste it and size it, right? It's all shapes in Illustrator. This is nothing. Copy and paste. Make it copy and paste. Look. A line, heavy line, thinner lines, one with a curve, and we got a spool of thread. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, guys. So these are some, oh, look, this is, don't try to do this for your white paper. That's a lot of work. But isn't that gorgeous? And look how they showed light. Remember how in the building, now you know why I taught you line quality, because I want you to understand what light does. So if this light is shining, it's going to come down in this area. If we were going to do line quality, right, we would do a lighter line on top here, right? Beautiful, beautiful stuff. Okay, that's there to give you ideas. We are done with this part on type. Cool? Now, I want to show you a couple more little things in here, and then I'll let you guys go. I don't think there's anything else. I think we covered everything, and you know what you need to turn in Friday. We won't go over the kerning game again. I think that's probably why the other class took much longer, too, because we played the kerning game. Under topography, I would like you very, very much to watch at least this video right here. I mean, I could keep you in class and make you watch it, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let you go enjoy the beautiful day. You can watch this later tonight. Watch this little video. It's only like about 6 minutes. It's very basic. It just reminds you of all the things I just taught you. If you really want to like a double whammy, I give you all these things to back up my teaching you in class, okay? Give me other ways to learn. These are good too, but you got to skip the ads. But you could get away with maybe just watching that one. If you have the time, watch all of them. But do watch the first one. Then I definitely want you to look at this website on hierarchy. You don't have to read it. Just kind of skim down through and look at what they're talking about. Didn't I just show you this in my slides, right? They're saying header, subhead, body copy. All the same. Changed up the color to give it a little more emphasis because it's dates. And then the body copy all looks the same. The body copy is running straight across. Well, it's not actually. They should have, though. They should have adjusted that to do that. But think about hierarchy, size, weight, color, position, contrast, white space. So they're showing you all the things that I just taught you, but it's another source. And some people learn better by reading something like that. These are some videos on it. They're a little more complex. If you really, really, really want to learn, remember, attention to details is what makes good design. Paying attention, like when we did the headline with the orphans and windows, there was a lot of attention to little details, right? With the letter spacing, the kerning, raising the ampersand up and down. That's what makes great design. That's why I always had jobs. That's why, I mean, I worked in the field a long, long time, even when people were getting laid off because the technology changed. Now, let's go back. Support materials. So if my lecture, I hate to call it a lecture, if my working with you today wasn't enough, this is a cool little book. I got this like 15 years ago from Adobe. They gave it away. It's a PDF. And it basically is doing all the same things I've talked to you about. You could download this and keep it. So if you learn better by look, there's kerning, there's letters. It's just another source for you. And it's something you can keep. Type check is where I took a book. And because I'm a professor, you are allowed to use a certain percentage copyright free. I took screenshots of a few little parts of the book. And they're the same things I just taught you. It's just you're getting it in a different form. You're going to see how it talks about, oh, here it's kind of cool because it's talking about, I don't want to talk about that. It's talking here. Here is a widow and here is an orphan. And it just gives you some other little tips and you can blow this up and look at it. Okay? Might even give you a few more little tips than what I gave you today. All things to help you with when you're laying out your white paper. I don't even want you to have these. I'm trying to make our life as simple as possible right now. All right. Any questions? We know what we need to do. I say we've got not quite 50 minutes left in class. I'm almost feeling bad. What the heck? How are you getting done 50 minutes earlier than the rest of the class? I covered everything. Everything on my list is here. Guys, I'm not going to renege on my promise. And I'm going to tell you what I told my FYS class because I gave them some time off yesterday. We covered what we needed to cover and I let them go. Do not do any homework for 50 minutes. Go outside, relax, detox, relieve the pressure. Just make sure you turn in those files so I can help you on Friday, okay?
And I had a quick question.
Go for it, sweetie.
Just to clarify, is the mock-up the like that we're turning in the Illustrator file or the InDesign file that we like we're going over?
The Illustrator file, the mock-up, we did that in week 11, didn't we? Or no, we did that in week 12. Learning mock-up. That's where you submit it, but I think I gave you the file. Where did I give you the file? Uh-oh. Right here. It looks weird on my screen because mine looks different. So this is the mock-up, sweetie. It's the Illustrator file. And all you have to do is just indicate. You want to just think out what your white paper is going to look like and just indicate in those blocks. Remember how I went over it and I showed how you can move the pages around and things like that? Just indicate like, okay, I'm going to have a picture fill the whole thing. And you guys could either like put a little X through it and say picture. You could use words even if you want. Make it simple. But kind of just plan out what you hope your white paper will look like. So when you sit down to do InDesign, you're not sitting down cold. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Now, if you take that file we started last class, remember we started your white paper file? If you take that file and you start to lay it out according to what you're doing in your mock-up, if you so happen to do that and you want me to look at it, include it along with this and I will look at it. But I'm not requiring that. But if you want a little extra help that way, you want a head start, I will do that. And then don't forget to do your lecture question because it's on hierarchy and that's really important. Okay?
So the mock-up is an Illustrator file then yep. And not an InDesign one?
Yep, it's Illustrator. All you have to do is download it and use it. And I give you this little thing over here. And I actually did half of it for you guys. There are little parts you have to add. Like you at least have to have two images. I don't know. You might have more than two images. You could just put photo of puppy, photo of kitten. Just kind of plan it out a little bit. I just want to see that you know what you're doing. Okay? There's no points for this. You lose points if you don't give it to me. I do that on purpose because here's what I've discovered. Students, this class is based on practice. Otherwise, even during my lectures, you don't sit there and just listen, right? You're practicing what I'm showing you, right? If you don't do the practice, you're not going to learn. So that's why I have those negative points. It's like, I've learned that students who don't think this out before they go do that InDesign file do poorer in class. So that's why I put those negative points. I don't think you should get points for doing something. There's no way I could grade this other than say, okay, you showed me you know what you're going to lay out. Can I say, oh, your word content needs kerning? No, I'm not going to do that. Okay? There's nothing for me to grade on it. It's basically, did you do it and think it out or did you not? Okay? Good? Do you see the purpose of why you need to do this? Bree, sweetie, does it make sense why you need to do this?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I also had another question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You said you were recording this class, right?
Uh-huh.
Does that get sent to like everybody or?
I just want to share it. I was going to put it online so that people could look at it.
Okay.
Is there something you don't want them to see, Bree?
No, that I wanted it to be uploaded so that way I can
I will upload it for this class and the other class.
Okay.
I have somebody that didn't have power and asked me if I record it. The reason I don't record all my classes is wait till you see how big this file is. And I want people to come to class because if you come to class and ask questions and work, you're going to learn a lot more than watching the stinking recording. One of the things I hate about virtual learning is students have gotten to the point where, oh, I won't show up to class because the professor will post a recording. And I'm saying, you aren't doing much in that class then if all you do is, Victoria's laughing. Right, Victoria? Am I not correct on this one? Then why freaking have class? I'll just do videos and you all can go watch your videos. How many of you guys would like a class like that? If all I did was make videos and you went and watched the videos?
I do have a class like that.
Is that what you'd want for this class, though? Let's talk about this class, because this is
not this class.
Not this class. No, won't work. You got to come to class. You do better.
I mean, but a video would be nice to reference back to sometimes.
The only thing is they're too big, sweetie. They're too big, too long and too big. But as we did with the important stuff, I'm going to isolate. You'll have the short videos when the textbook is totally done. Okay. Yeah. I see what you mean, but wouldn't you like it if it was broken down into the important stuff so you didn't have to watch 2 hours of it? You could just go right to the part. That's my goal. That's my goal. Okay. And if I'm putting these on my own server because I'm not putting these videos out in public. The only one who can see these videos are going to be your classmates, nobody else. Okay. All right. Any other questions? No? Don't forget, you can always email me and ask me a question. Bree, if there's not a recording and you got a question, you know you can always ask me. I will help you, right?
Yeah. Okay.
If you don't have a question, I'll stick around till everybody logs off. Go enjoy yourself for a little bit, okay? Bye. Thank you, Victoria. Thanks for being my face today.